Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Podcast, brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. Mate, we keep saying it's Diamond League season because that's all we ever talk about, but it truly is Diamond League season. We need to wrap up Monaco from Friday, and obviously you've got to talk about Josh Kerr this coming Saturday and preview that London Diamond League, but particularly focusing on the mile. Mate, how are you? Did you enjoy Monaco on Friday night?
I did. I was impressed. There's few events I was impressed by. We'll start with that men's 1000. Obviously, Wanyonyi, incredible running. And yeah, you were just talking off air about how Hutchins was saying, you know, that 1K record was a record that was owned by guys who were coming down from the 1500. And I think it really highlighted to me, obviously, Whiteman was the only one who was able to sort of go with Wanyonyi and live with that pace. They were 145 low through 800. They were 51 low through 400. And yeah, you would have thought it would almost be the opposite. Like the eight boys would get on it and then they would maybe fade a bit and Whiteman would come through. But he had the strength to go through fast on the coattails of Wanyonyi and still hold it together, which for me was very impressive from Whiteman, showing his speed and showing his strength. But also it showcased Wanyonyi's strength, and it showcased, you know, as much as the 800 is turning into this like pure all-out sprint, 4-8 guys seem to be dominating. You look at Wanyonyi, you look at his setup in Kenya. He's obviously based at altitude all year round. You know, there's no question that is giving him that final piece, you know, that final home straight, that strength on the straight that he's so famous for. Being based in Kenya is probably giving him that. Also his coach, you know, Claudio Berardelli, you know, obviously he's the coach of Sebastian Sarwe as well. So one would presume that he does lean into that endurance, even for an 800 runner like Wanyonyi. We've heard of him doing hill reps with people like Sarwe, with, you know, those endurance guys in the group. And so I think that was fascinating, you know, picking up on the fact that it was a record that was owned by 1500 meter runners, and Wanyonyi was able to go there and better it. And yeah, it was a great matchup. And for a period, you thought Whiteman might challenge down the home straight. Was Wanyonyi tying up? And he just goes again. And I think that killed Whiteman a little bit, but still winds up with a very, very good time. And is Whiteman now the favorite for the Commonwealth Games? Despite the hype of Josh Kerr, despite Cam Myers running well, does Whiteman now become the favorite with that 1,000 under his belt?
Yeah, it certainly puts him in a good position. And I think you're bang on in terms of the most impressive bit was that he went through 400 with Wanyonyi rather than sitting back. Because if he sat back, picked some guys off and then closed hard but never really got himself in the race, I think you're looking at that and thinking, yeah, we could have told you that was going to happen. But to have the confidence, to have the ability to get on it, go through 400, go for 800 with the guy, was really impressive. And yeah, I think it puts him in a great spot. And we'll talk about Kerr in a bit, though, because depending on what Kerr runs this weekend, we might be in our words and saying, actually, he's going to blow Whiteman out of the water at Commies, right? But I think I think a 1K is great. You mentioned it when we previewed. I'd like to see how he matched up against those guys over an 800, because he must be close to his 800 best after that run.
He must be, right. Yeah. What's he run? 143 mid Whiteman. He must be 143 low, maybe even 142 high. You know, he put away some very, very strong 800 meter runners in that field convincingly. And the biggest thing for Whiteman is when he was at his best globally in 2022, obviously last year was a great year for him as well, but he was at his best over 800, and he is, in my eyes, he is the fastest 1500 meter runner over 800. You know, you look at globally, like all these guys who have, you know, they seem to get stuck at 144, a lot of these 1500 meter men. And I know they don't prioritize the 800. Whiteman, in fairness, probably prioritizes the 800 more than any 1500 meter runner we see on the circuit. You know, he actually races the 800 pretty frequently versus a lot of guys who stick with a 15 and maybe they do a lot of 3Ks. They go the other way. But that is his strength. And I think it's a serious worry for people like Myers, although, you know, Myers has looked amazing. And even Kerr, like, how do you break Whiteman? And Whiteman's last 100 is pretty much, yeah, he got unlucky against Nadir last year. But it's pretty much one of the best last hundreds. Him and Cole Hocker, you're like, those guys have the best last hundred in the game when they are fit, when they are fully, you know, fully up and running.
Well, yeah. I mean, Whiteman is running 800 on the weekend, so we'll see how he gets on there in London.
Good feel.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. But before we get on to London, I mean, more to talk about on a Diamond League. I guess that's all from the 1K. Ben Patterson, decent run.
Very, very, very decent. Very decent. Yeah. You know, he is, I think, you know, for Patterson to live with the speed over that 1K, he probably would need to have the strength of a 330, 331, 1500 meter guy. You know, that's basically what Wanyonya Whiteman are. And he's not quite there yet, but actually it was still a bloody good time and a good over distance work for Patterson, I imagine.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's the race that we didn't think we were going to look forward to that much because we don't really like those alternate events, but the one we ended up enjoying. The one we were looking forward to, the 5K, Alex Yee. Where do we start with that performance?
Yeah. I think it's a classic case of it's all well and good getting into Monaco, but if you can't handle 60, if you can't handle 13 flat pace, and if you know that is going to, and to be fair to Yee, you know, he gets on it, he goes with it, he does what he can, but this is the problem that everyone is having in the 5K right now, because you've got 15, 20 guys who can run 13 flat or quicker. And every Diamond League is 12:50, 12:50, 12:50. So is it actually, if you have run 13, I mean, what's Yee's PB? 13:13? If you're outside 13:10, do you want to be anywhere near a Diamond League field? You probably don't. And I was, to be honest, I was shocked that Yee had actually got the entry into Monaco. Because if any other runner in the world had a lifetime best of 13:13, unless they were literally from Monaco, they don't get in that field.
Yeah, well, their 10K on the track was ridiculous, or it was like someone who's got a ridiculous 1500 and they just haven't run one in a long time. Yeah. Mate, it was interesting you say that because I just gone back on the Spotify comments from our preview because I know someone had commented saying that we're being salty, saying that how's Yee managed to get himself in our field. He's deleted his comment after the race. So if you are listening, interesting that you do that, because I don't think we actually were saying we were really excited to see Yee. Anyway, we were just
saying, were excited. I was just saying
it's unfortunate given, for other athletes that are
given the landscape,
that have run 13:13 that they can't get a shot. We did want to see Yee, but that comment.
My opinion is, if you've run 13:13, do you want the shot? Like, there's other races out there which are probably going to be better suited to you. I mean, look at the races Dave Malarkey's found himself in. You know, when he went and ran 13:09 out in LA, and you know, those races are going to be much better suited. I mean, IFAM is in a couple of weeks' time, the 1st of August, given it is actually during the Commonwealth Games. But yeah, there's other races which are going to be better for a 13:15 runner in order to go and run 13:05 or 13:10. You know, because if you get in the Diamond League, the problem is they're just going 12:50, and that is going to fry the best of people.
Yeah, he's in an unfortunate position. I think not in the same way, but we mentioned it about Keely. Like, Keely can't go and run a low key race, and I think for Yee, with how
same,
big a name he is and the invites he must get, people want him. Like,
he can run a low key race. He ran in Belgium last year when he ran 13:13.
Yeah, I know, but I think the temptation when they come knocking is too much for him to turn that down.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of how much of a big name he is, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be back.
He will be back. And I'm sure and this is the thing, I'm sure he's actually in great shape. And I'm sure he sort of went in there believing that he could run 13:05, but he can't run 13:05 running 61, 62s in that first 2K.
Yeah. And he'll have learned a lot in that race. And that's the thing, when you've got a team like that around you, you're going to take that experience and use that to improve.
Yeah. And I think with Yee as well, I was excited to see him in there because I was like, is this him committing to potentially trying to gain selection for the Europeans? Is, you know, we know that the 5K, I mean, Mills is now trying to qualify for the Europeans. He's announced, obviously, he's chasing qualifying. He's basically giving himself one race, one shot. And 4 weeks ago, he wasn't running. He's had all sorts of problems. And I wondered if that was Yee sort of being like, okay, there's a space there. There's a couple spaces on the European 5,000 meter team. Can I go for it? Because I know that if I get that time, I'll probably be on the plane. it'll be in the car an hour down the road. But it's, and that's a shame that Monaco, because when you look at it, you're like, Monaco's probably not the place to do that. Because you don't want to start 20, 30 meters off the back, trying to sort of, and work into that race. So it was a shame. But up front, it was very impressive. And, you know, you had Blanks, you had Lobalu, and you had Bailey go for it, kicking. And what I found fascinating is when you look at their splits, all of their 100, 12.8 for that final 100, those three ran exactly the same for the last 100, which when you start to see that, you're like, goodness, how much quicker can guys get in a 12.50, 5,000 meter? You know, they ran 12.52. How much quicker can boys finish that last 100? Like 12.8. Maybe they can go to 12.1. You know, someone like Cole Hocker could go to 12.1, 12.2, but you really start to move. And it makes you then think how fine the margins are becoming in 5,000 meter racing. Like, positioning is now becoming everything. If you know, if all three of them ran the identical last 100 at 12.8, and, you know, the only thing that separated them was basically their positioning at the top of the bend. Yeah. Fascinating.
No, you're right, because there's got to be a point where it levels out, right? Because people aren't going to start closing in 11 seconds. Like, it's going to get to a point where you just can't. So, like you say, but if everyone gets good enough that they can close in, we've seen that over 1500 for years, I guess, in terms of the guy who wins the race is not the guy who necessarily has the last 300 the quickest. They're all there or thereabouts, and it's the one who's actually positioned himself or herself in the best possible way.
Always. Hey, so that's the 5000 wrapped up pretty much. Women's 3K was in Getic was just, you know, we obviously saw Kipyegon run 8.07 last year. And yeah, I honestly, for a large part of this race, I thought Ngetic was going to do it. She just looks effortless. She just eats the ground. And again, you know, in this race, she just made the others. You know, she makes the others look relatively normal. I mean, they're not even in shot for most of the race. It's staggering what these women.
Mate, did
just...
you know Jessa was pacing? I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention.
I did. No, I did. Yeah. But you're right. It's not unlike Jess Hull to just be basically leading a ridiculously fast race.
Well, no one had told me, you know, and I was thinking, what is going on? So maybe I just wasn't listening. Maybe they did say on the comms. I don't know.
I think it did. But no, it was, and unfortunately just misses it, which is a real shame. So that Chinese record stands, which I know a lot of people would love to see go. Yes. A bit like that women's eight. They'd love to see these records go. And then just finally, I guess men's steeple, Coach is flying the flag for Kenya at the moment. He's doing his very, very best to keep Kenya relevant in the steeple chase. Obviously, he's broke eight, won the Monaco, which is a big race win for him. And yeah, I'm excited to see how he can keep improving, because he's still got many years.
He's got classy form, that guy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks beautiful, doesn't he? Yeah, he really does. Beautiful chaser.
Yeah, good to see a nice run from Miura. In second as well, Japanese athlete 8.10.
I've always liked him. I mean, the guy foot-ons on the barriers, you know, he's a very unique. I would love to talk to him about his training and his approach to sport. Yeah. Being based in Japan, I expect there are a lot of differences. But yeah, he's just Mr. Consistent as well. He runs 8.10 most weeks of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, there you have it. I mean, that's pretty much Monaco, right? We didn't have many distance events. The ones we did have were pretty decent. All eyes to London then. Look, let's just talk about Josh Kerr. He's been great at documenting his training on YouTube. He's been great at creating hype around this event. Brooks have been great. I guess, should we start with, do you think he's going to do it? You're like, right now, yes or no? And then we'll get into...
Oh, man, yeah.
Some of the intricacies. What's your gut?
Yeah. I would be more surprised if he did it versus if he doesn't.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, he would. I think it would blow my mind a little bit if he does do it. I'm sitting on the fence. There's probably 70% of me saying that he's not going to run the world record. Maybe even more. 75%. He's not going to run the world record. 25% of me is like, oh well, he has his chance. What's been cool about seeing Josh Kerr's build up actually is he really has let us in to his build up on his YouTube, and he's shown us how the training has progressed. And I think that's rare. Like, often you'll get like a snippet from an athlete which shows you one of their key workouts, or it shows you their base workout, or it's just a random workout around a time of year. Whereas actually he has delivered these weekly episodes, and you've seen those race specific sessions progress. And I've found, you know, he's gone from sort of like 4.8s, first couple in 2 minutes, last two in 1:50-ish. Then he did this very impressive workout. Was it like 2:42 or something like that?
2:62.
2:62.
I like that one. That was good.
And he's crushing world record pace. You know, he's eating it up. Yeah, he's just clipping 55s. Nobody's problem. And then that last one is 1200 time trial, which I presume is just much more. He just needed to understand the rhythm and sustaining that world record pace for 1200 meters. And again, you know, he paused at 800. We had to guess his. I think it's being released on Friday. Actually, so he's going to release the full workout on Friday to see what he's done. Does his 1200 time trial, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he does run the record, I think the views on those videos are going to shoot him.
Yeah, but it's been fascinating to see how like him and Danny Mackey and stuff and those sessions have just been, you know, just got harder and harder very gradually through the last sort of 4, 5, 6 weeks. So credit to him, because I don't think we've ever seen an athlete share that much about their record attempt, because if he does it for this world record, you know that that's a very similar approach that he would have had previously for the World Championships, the Olympic Games, etc.
Yes, but I also think what's interesting about Mackey and Kerr is the focus they put on the race itself in the championships. And yes, they try and get in the best shape, but I think this will have been a little bit different to his championship prep. But this is my one concern with Kerr is I worry that doing it in a Diamond League, and yeah, maybe he has had some influence on who goes in the field.
This field looks a bit.
Yeah,
it's a bit like it's America versus Britain. You got a couple Germans in there, but it's Robert Falcon's not going to be a match for these guys. Like, it does look like it's just the USA versus Great Britain, which is cool in itself. That might get the crowd going.
Well, I think
so.
We used to see it happen with Farah all the time in terms of it on home soil. They'd set the race up, they'd have an appropriate level of competition for him to get what he needed. And I think that's fair enough. Like, if we've got meets in the UK, support our best athletes, like, absolutely. I guess my one issue is if someone starts challenging him for the race, that's what I mean. Does he lose sight of the record because he's worrying about actually winning this thing?
No. Yared Nuguse is the only man challenged Kerr. But Yared Nuguse, you are loving this. Faster than
so
Kerr.
Easy for Nuguse.
Over the mile. He's run 3:43 already. He almost beat Jakob on that occasion when they ran 3:43 at Prix. Nuguse is actually looking good this season as well. He's looking very good.
Yeah.
And he seems to be building nicely. The one thing about Nuguse, he has been a bit here, there, and everywhere where Kerr hasn't. You know, he's been completely dialed in on this attempt. And I worry about Nuguse because he came over to Europe and then goes back over to Prix and then goes back over to America training and then he's back again. So unless he's stayed in Europe that whole time, I'm not sure. But yeah, he has raced quite a bit is what I'm trying to say, whereas Kerr has just programmed himself for this record attempt. That's the only man I think is going to match these guys. I mean, Jake Hayward, Tom Keane, Brandon Kidd here, I presume, is going to be one of the pacers. I'm very excited to watch Birnbaum. Simeon Birnbaum is in there. That is going to be exciting. But again, he's had a very, very long season. He's done amazing things. We haven't seen him in an all-out time trial scenario like this. That 3:31, he ran just a couple of mates in Oregon pacing him, and then he goes and pings it the last couple of laps. So what can he do? Ethan Strand's in there. Sam Prackle, I'm looking at and thinking, are you a pacer? Otherwise, I don't know how the hell he's got in that field. And Arlo Ludwig. Which is, you know, Arno Ludwig in there like that's, and he goes and runs the European standard 3:33.0. So, but I think it's going to be two races.
Yeah.
I don't think it will be two races.
Yeah. And I think I just, in terms of for hoping for the record, I hope he shakes Nuguse fairly early. Well, not early, but I hope Nuguse isn't on his shoulder.
Like, the way I see this playing out, Nuguse will just go, well, all I've got to do is follow this man for as long as possible. It's a bit like Femke Bol when she comes up against Georgia Bell and Keely Hodgkinson. Femke Bol is just going to sit on those two for as long as possible. That is going to be fast if they are going for that world record attempt, because Femke is getting further and further into these 800s, and I think Nuguse will just take that same approach. He won't need to do anything. And he knows that if he hangs on to Kerr up until the last 100, then there's every chance he might well break the world record.
That's what I mean, and then that's where I worry for Kerr. Although maybe I presume they've thought about this, right? Like
it becomes a point where you just have you have to go for it. Like if you want to break the world record, you have to accept that there might be people on your shoulder.
And I guess that's what's going to eke that last bit of performance out of him, right? Is
The race itself, probably. Probably
exciting, mate. We do have some inside in info on the race. Obviously, we've spoken about the field and things like that, but there's tech going into it as well, as there always is these days. So Brooks and Sports News have sent us over some of the info on Josh Kerr's speed suit. So the Hyperion 222 speed suit.
Is it for sale?
Not that I know of. They're not set on here.
Sports News aren't selling it yet. Damn.
And they got the 222 spike as well. And apparently some of the brand is inspired by his Oakleys. So he's mixing his brands here. Some of the design on there is inspired by his Oakleys.
So what are we working with? The way I see it, they're doing a very similar thing to Nike last year with Kip Yeagon and designing that air resistance suit and spikes and all of these adjustments. You know, it's the same what we've seen from Kipchoge. These sorts of attempts are a brand's dream because it puts them in the spotlight. It challenges their designers. And it's like, well, if it comes off, then we're going to get so much recognition, you know, and the design team and everyone involved is going to get big bonus, big pay rise. And so I do like it. I think these attempts are good for the sport. And this is a realistic attempt as well. I think Kip Yeagon's sub 4 mile was
yeah,
unrealistic, but this is a realistic attempt.
Yeah. Well, the one thing with Kip Yeagon's though, it did kind of prove that at some point,
it will be possible.
It will be possible.
Yeah. Yeah. It started. I think it started. It's going to go to bed for a few years and then it will come back out of the woodwork for sure.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, yeah, Kurt's here. One of the things I like in this, they've spoken about how the suit's designed for this weekend. So, yes, it's going to be faster all year round, but they're particularly thinking about exactly what the climate's going to be like in London on Saturday. And considering what type of heat that's going to be to, I guess, get the thermoregulation right to keep Josh as fast and cool as possible, it is what they say. But I guess, yeah, so we got targeted airflow and heat release, laser cut perforations, balance of breathability and aerodynamics, distraction-free fit, sleeveless high-neck upper, minimal seam construction, perforated fabric to enhance mobility in the bottom of the suit, then sweat wicking away in the top half of the suit to speed up evaporation.
Basically, he's just got a fast speed suit and he's got the best spikes that Brooks could ever design. That's what he's working with, right?
He selected traditional front zipper for ease of use and functional simplicity.
Yeah.
So no change to the zipper, just traditional.
He's got to be able to get it on.
Yeah, he's trialed three different fabrics. Nice. And obviously he's going to be in his favorite one. And it says that he prioritized something that felt familiar to what he's used to. So whilst they're pushing the boundaries, they've not tried to go too far away from what Josh usually trains.
Which I rate, you know, I don't want to see some mad futuristic, you know, it's a bit like in cycling, those crazy shark helmets they wear. Just look, it's just like, God, really? You're having to go that far to try and get those fractions of a second? I know sport is all about pushing the boundaries, seeing what you can do, but yeah, you know, I always think like world record attempts should never be that. They should always be in a race. It should just be go have a race, bang, you know, get after it. And if you run the world record, that simply means, yeah, you're the best it's ever been. And not you're the one who's had the best science it's ever been.
Yeah. One thing that does baffle me though is that when they put all this tech into stuff and then people don't like shave their hair. That's what cracks me. You talk about like the aerodynamics.
I guarantee
you, one of the easiest things you do is like skinhead.
Shave the beard.
And we saw it with
Centro.
But Centro originally did it for Moscow in when was that? 2009.
He went full champs. Skins. He went like
2000. Basically, I remember reading about it. Salazar said to them all, "You all have to do it." And even some. And I'm not saying Salazar's like the person we should be looking to. It was his suggestion, basically, just because of how hot that champs is going to be.
Oh, how hot it was. I got to admit, if I'm Kerr, I'm shaving the beard.
Yeah, everything. Surely.
It's part of it.
If you're putting that into speed suit, right, you're not having... But then I think the beard, that's his aura, isn't it? It's a bit...
It is.
So
the
then
shades,
you can...
The shades, the beard, everything.
Yeah, might lose that. So.
Well, look, okay, so confirmation, Kerr's going to be the best dressed. Is he going to run the time? What I would have loved to see, I would have loved to see Whiteman versus Kerr in this one. Would have loved to see Whiteman in this race off the back of that 1,000. I think, for me, Whiteman is actually...
look, we'll see what Kerr does on the weekend, but it's been a long time since Kerr's raced. He's done a couple 800 meter tune-ups. They were nothing to shout about at all. They were fairly average, actually. So, but clearly he's just training himself to be as efficient as possible at 55s. And so I'm intrigued to see if he does it. But Whiteman, for me, is slowly becoming the favorite for the Commonwealth Games. And I wonder what he'll do at the European Championships. That's Josh Kerr. I want to talk about Arlo Ludwig because he goes and gets that European standard. Now, you have literally got to be a lawyer to understand the selection policy these days. But there is a sentence in the selection policy which says, for the avoidance of doubt, if an athlete wins the trial event and does not have the European Athletics entry standard at the time of the first selection meeting on the 21st of June, but subsequently achieves it before the second selection meeting on the 27th of July, they will be considered in round four, which is obvious. But the fact it says they will be considered in round four, it doesn't say they will be selected in round four. Read that and I go, I always understood that a minute, if you win the trials and you go and get the time at a later date, you are guaranteed to compete at the European Championships.
Well, in a way, right?
But
it's actually more important. Running the time, then winning the champs is not as good as...
It shows you're improving.
It means you're peaking, right?
But there is one race this weekend which could have a lot on the line, and it could well be Jake Hayward versus Arlo Ludwig.
Yeah. And you can make cases for both, right, can't you? Like,
well, this is what I'm very concerned about. I mean, for me, Arlo Ludwig should be on. That's it. Yeah. You know, the spot's his. He's at the Europeans. Amazing. We've got a new face. A British 1500 meter running. I love the fact he went over to, is it Germany? Really, really small meet and wins it by a second and a half. The guy's unbeaten all year, wearing his Herne Hill vest. He is the sort of Cinderella story that we are worried about might be disappearing from our sport because how hard it is to get into races and all this and that. But he didn't do this in a fancy world tour. You know, he went and won it by a second and a half in this low key meet.
Like you say, just his win record. That's what
his win record. He's a beast. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. 3:37 at Trafford BMC. Get yourself over on a world tour and it converts a 3:33. But yeah, I mean, but then there's an argument for Hayward and the fact that he's been to the Olympics. He's obviously a European medalist. He's run 3:32 this season. So he's a little bit quicker. He's had more opportunities than Ludwig for sure. And when it came to a head-to-head race, he lost.
Yeah. And I think I said at the time, good to see him back, but he'll be kicking himself. And now he's got to be kicking himself even more, right?
Arlo Ludwig's world ranking, 391. Crazy.
It is. I mean, yeah, look, we're quite kind of
don't think it's updated yet since
we open on this podcast, aren't we? We just want to see the people who win the trials races, who win the important races go. But I don't know how that one's going to unfold. Consideration doesn't sound good, does it?
No, I'll be honest. I haven't actually gone back and read the whole bloody policy. Honestly, I think we probably need to get Andy Hobdell on the podcast. He's a lawyer, isn't he? So he can talk us through it all. But that selection deadline is coming up on the 27th of July. So yeah, probably that weekend. So that's going to be good. So that's the men's mile. Women's 800 is really the next. I mean, the men's 800. I mean, we're all talking about the men's mile and the women's 800 for the world record. We could definitely see a world record in the men's 8. Arop Wanyonyi, Max Bergen, Whiteman, Patterson. Arop goes and runs 142.1 in Edmonton looking, you know, he just looked supreme doing it. They're both looking in great shape. You know, Wanyonyi's just come off 1,000 world records. So, but we'll start with his women's 8, buddy. Phoebe Gill in there. Very, very excited. But for me, it's Femke Bol, it's Georgia Hunter-Bell, and it's Keely Hodgkinson. Firstly, does Georgia beat Keely? Secondly, I think they've both had a few problems. Pre was not good, was not kind to either of them.
No.
I've heard Georgia's had a few issues. Nothing, you know, not a serious injury, but a few things here and there. Keely, obviously the same, and Femke Bol's just been resting up, getting ready for this clash.
I mean, yeah, I think George is the one that you're like, how good she looked at British Champs. It just depends how many issues she has had.
It's a big travel.
I think we were like, yeah, okay, it's travel. She's had plenty of time since pre, though, to get herself ready for this one. And it depends how this one runs, because Keely,
4, 6 weeks ago, she chooses the pace, she runs at the front, and she tries to run away from the field.
Yeah.
If they're smart, she doesn't do that on the weekend.
Well, I think
she
Keely
just raced,
might just
she done 2 years
she,
ago.
She might just control things a bit more on the backstretch. Yeah, she's been done a couple times now. She was done at Prix. Obviously, Vero did her over as well. And she's the last couple of races, she has pressed that backstretch. And when she's fit, you press the backstretch and you drop everyone, and then you control things. And she's been able to go again in the home straight. That's what she's been doing so well over the last few years. But if you're not as fit as you would like, if you're not at the very, very top of your game this day and age with the quality now, you press on the backstretch and you find yourself having nothing left on the home stretch, and then you've got Georgia Hunter Bell behind you, you've got Femke Bell behind you, and the minute those guys come up on your shoulder to respond and hold them off, very difficult. And that's what we saw. That's what she couldn't do at Prix. So all eyes will be on her to control it. I can't imagine Georgia will go in behind the pacemaker. I can't imagine Bowl going behind the pacemaker, and I'm very intrigued. Look, Tuesday? The press conference will happen this week. We'll find out whether they're going for the world record. We'll find out what that split's going to be at 400 and all of that stuff. But yeah, this in a way, the slower she goes as well, the more she does open the door up to Femke Bowl. So it is a fine margin. It's going to be a cracking race.
Yeah, it is. I mean, on the 800, Gemma Riki, nice run from her on the weekend, 158. Because you talk about BMC conversions, right? What's that worth?
It was blustery down there too. I wasn't there. I was commentating, but it definitely looked blustery, and a few people told me it was blustery. So it was impressive, yeah.
Yeah. Loads of races to look forward to. Got men's 8, women's 8, Josh Kerr 2-2-2. And then Conway.
Women's 3, Innes goes, Megan Keith goes, Laura Muir goes, Hannah Nuttall goes. That's going to be a great matchup. Jess Hull goes, Sarah Healy. Aisa, yeah, Bira, you know, a few Ethiopians in there as well. Meshesha, obviously she's run 8:22 before. And Eloise Walker's in there as well, which is great for her. So I think we're going to see some cracking times over the 3,000 as well. So 2 till 4 is the time, Elite. Yeah.
Is that Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. We are 2 till 4, Saturday afternoon. World Cup final Sunday, baby. That is a big week. Stock the fridge. Stock the fridge. I might have to get a delivery. Lock myself in. Hey.
Nice 4-pack for you over the weekend, Albie. That's all Matt means when he says stock the fridge.
Hey, let's talk about the actual, the sort of the appetizer to the London Diamond League. It was a Watford Diamond League on Saturday night. Now, I'm not sure how many people were aware of this, but a record was broken, and that record was 27 men broke 150 over 800 meters on the weekend at one meeting at Watford, which I think is amazing. You know, we hear all the, we've had 100 guys sub 15 minutes of 5K, yeah, blah, yeah, blah, blah. 27 men sub 150.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because I remember when 150 was like, that was the British champ standard, wasn't it? Or 151, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yeah, you're talking 27 men at BMC.
In one afternoon. And there's probably double that who weren't there, really, over 800.
Yeah.
Thought that was, you know, that was very impressive in
oh,
one
no,
meeting.
No, that track is unreal. That is a...
Well, look, it was comeback season. Matt Stonier comes back with a win. Kate Axford, it was like it was 2023 again. 2023, 2022. Josh Lay was there. Matt Stonier was winning. Kate Axford was winning. Will Barnaker was back out there on the track. Okay, he's got a bit to do. I mean, I guess so Stonier, but he did win, and he did look like, you know, when he got challenged, he responded, and it kind of looked like himself. He looked like his old self. So that was very impressive. I think who else is making a comeback? I think there might have even been a few more, but
Moriki, as you mentioned, right?
Yeah, she hasn't raced for about 2 weeks, mate.
No, but it's in like
these people haven't raced for 3 years.
That's a top run, like, do you know what I mean? Like, in that sort of meet, I think.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It was a good performance from her. So, yeah, that was very. It was just all round a cracking meet. I'm just looking. Usually on the BMC website, it has the 25% PBs. There you go. Not as many as they'd hope, maybe.
Because everyone's PBs are so good nowadays.
That is the problem with the Watford. Yeah. That is the problem with the Watford Diamond League, eh?
Yeah. If you want a high PB percentage, you got to go stick a meat, like where there's no other meats. Or for a load of kids.
And or,
for
kids. Yeah. You're right about that. But no, it really delivered. So I think it was enjoyable. It was good on the comms. McMurray won the 3,000. Kate Axel won 3,000. Batchel had a good crack at the steeple. Another 8.23 for him. He definitely seems to enjoy races where he is sort of out there on his own a little bit more, as opposed to in a pack.
Yeah. I do think there's an element of steeple where it does allow you to run, like just get that rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And side the barriers nicely.
Mm. I want to see what, just checking what Josh Leigh ran. 3.42. That's not bad from Josh Leigh either. That is bloody good considering he's had such a long period of time off. So that rivalry between him and Stonia being reignited down at the Watford Diamond League. And there was one more race that we should pay attention to, and that was obviously the Morton Games. And some of the storylines coming out of that. Henry Jonas wins the 8. Aaron Gebremariam holds off Daryl McEnany, Nick Griggs. Scott Beattie runs well over 5,000. 16 men broke sub 4 in the mile. It certainly lived up to the hype, as always, the Morton Games. And I think that 5,000 was a breakthrough for a few, actually, starting to... I was impressed with the race that Scott Beattie puts together. Gebremariam, by the way, apparently he is applying for a British citizenship, hopes to get that done in the next year or two. So he could be one to watch. Yeah, he won it in 13.15. He over 5,000. He could be one to watch over the next couple of years if he gets that British citizenship, I've been told. Yeah, Scott Beattie, 13.17. Brian Faith, 13.18. Nick Griggs, 13.16. Darren McEnany, 13.15 in second there. So yeah, very good. At George Wheeler, DNF. Charlie Wheeler, DNF. Damn, boys.
Got to plug their ideas up, don't they?
We're going to need to get him a job.
There we go. We tried that before, mate. That backfired.
Right. Is there anything else we need to talk about? I guess one of the things we want to talk about next week, we want to go back to a phone-in episode with you guys next week. And off the back of a very successful BMC, the British Miners Club have the monopoly. The British track and field calendar evolves around BMC meetings. Let's be honest. Any athlete in the country, any coach in the country goes, okay, what BMCs are we working with and when? And you just go, right.
It's the domestic diamond.
It's the domestic diamond league. And so, does the BMC need to step up a notch? Is it time for the BMC to go, okay, let's capitalize on the success they're having? People are reliant on the BMC, and do they just level up a notch? Do they make those A races even faster? Do they make those A races? Look, Watford attracts quite a few internationals. There's a few Norwegians, Swedes. There's obviously the Irish come over. There was a Campion wins the men's A race over 1500. There's a few internationals there, but does it need to just have that, you know, that A race? Can they turn those A races into 4 flat for the women? 3:32, 3:33 for the men. You know, can they just step it up a level? And like you said, Lum's been flirting the idea, does the BMC need a British Miners Club final? It kind of has that in Tooting. I feel like Tooting, you know, everyone knows last one of the season, yeah. It's going to be big, it's going to be internationals. But
it's that qualifying, let's make it official, let's have big prize money for the winners at the last meet. Let's have a trophy if you want, do you know what I mean? Like,
because, basically the question next week is what can the BMC do to level up British in middle distance running even more than it already has. You know, over the last decade, it's achieved what it set out to achieve, which is develop world-class 800 and 1500 meter runners.
And to it's increase done that. The number of PBs, like, it's huge.
Increase the PBs. It's done that. But now it's like...
What's next?
They've got a season there, and can they capitalize on it? Can they work with potentially the governing bodies to grow this even more and turn this into almost like a league in the UK? Because... England Athletics, the championships. I mean, two men in the 1500. A week later, they're going down to F and G races in the 1500. You know, there's the EA championships is almost. I don't know how you save that. NALs, SALs. Again, I don't know how you save that format. Are we just has the sport feels like it's just moved too far the other way? And you'd almost need to ban BMCs if you were to save those meetings. Because I just, when you've got that offering, if you're an athlete and you've got the offering of a BMC versus an SAL or versus an England Championships and you want to just go run a PB, I mean, they're all opting for BMC. So can the BMC do something to work with the governing bodies a little bit more to create some sort of a league? That's basically a discussion me and Lum been talking about over the last week or two.
Yeah. So if you want to get in on that discussion, ping us an email, send us a message on Instagram. We'll get you on, sort something out. If you're from a BMC or involved in a BMC in any way, then they'd be ideal. Or if you're an athlete, parent, be cool. But yeah, thanks for listening to us. Enjoy Josh Kerr this weekend. Hopefully we can review a world record over tomorrow, but we shall see. Thanks for listening to us. We'll catch you guys very, very soon.